Want to get the most out of the tread on your tires? Burt Brothers is offering a free alignment check and $20 off any oil change. Book your next service online today or stop by any Burt Brothers location near you and let them get your car ready for the adventure ahead. Burt Brothers, complete auto care done better.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Welcome in, Ute fans, to another special edition of the Crimson Corner Podcast and the KSL Sports Front Page. I am your host and Utes Insider, Trevor Allen. And I am happy to be joined because we are going to be making a special announcement today of a stream that we're going to be doing next week. But because our next guest can't make it next week, we're going to preview it, announce it here. We bring in former Utah and NFL offensive lineman Zane Beadle. Zane, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Really, the reason why I can't join next week is I just want to be overshadowed by all my former teammates, if we're really getting down to it, right? So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so we're just going to get right into the announcement right away. So what we're doing, I teamed up with Sly, and we are going to be putting together a 08 Sugar Bowl virtual reunion. I'm going to bring this up here, right there. There you go. That is going to be taking place next Friday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time right here on the KSL Sports Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. And we're going to be doing this a little bit differently. So normally you just have a whole group in, you do the interviews and things like that. We're going to kind of go away from the regular traditional broadcasts. And we're going to do a group of guys in each part of this stream so that we can get more guys to tell more stories. But we'll get Zane's story since he can't make it next week. But what we're going to do, group one, we'll start off the stream. We're going to have Mike Wright, Robert Johnson, Rojo, Matt Asiata, and Derek Shelby. And then at about 10:20, 10:30, depending on how long it takes. And by the way, Sly is co-hosting this with me. He's going to stay on throughout. We're going to have Robert Conley, Brent Castile, Joe Dale, and RJ Stanford. Now, whenever I read off all those names, Zane, what really comes to mind when reading off those group of names?
Man, some good memories, great group of guys, just a lot of good feels come in the heart when you say those names. You know, I haven't seen a lot of those guys in a lot of years, a few of them here and there. Really wish I could join next week because that's a lot of fun, and those are going to be two really fun groups.
If I were to say, okay, Zane, I'm going to let you pick the group for you to be in, just based off of how much fun or insight you want to give, which group would you want to join the most?
I think probably the second group, and mainly because Robert Conley and I spent a lot of hours together in that O-line room. A lot of good memories there. So that'd be fun to join him in that group.
So just to kind of give folks of what we're going to be doing in this Sugar Bowl reunion next week, I want to get all your thoughts as well. So going into that season, you guys weren't looked at as to potentially go to, you know, the Sugar Bowl, go undefeated or anything, but, you know, people knew you guys were going to be really, really good. When did you know that that 08 team was going to be special?
I don't remember an exact time, but I want to say the year before that, I think we went 8-4, maybe finished 9-4 with the bowl win. Had progressively been getting better since Coach Witt's first year in 05. And you could kind of feel something brewing a little bit. We had a ton of really good senior leadership on that 08 team. And then some underclassmen, you know, juniors, sophomore age group that were also very good leaders that were just right below those seniors that year. All through that off season, all through fall camp that year, you could just feel that like the group of guys on this team were really starting to take the team over. It wasn't the coaches that were driving things necessarily anymore. It wasn't the coaches that were motivating. It wasn't the coaches setting the bar high for the expectations for the team. It was the players. And, that was, I think, my real first experience with something like that. I experienced that further on other teams throughout my career. When you get that feeling, it's something that's special and things just start to steamroll and the momentum just starts to pick up. And, definitely going into that season, opening up at Michigan, you know, we had expectations for ourselves, and we had a feeling of what type of team we could be when we walked out of the Big House with that win. It set us up on that trajectory to have a phenomenal year that year.
So you guys go into the Big House, you guys obviously pick up a win. It wasn't, you know, a big time. I mean, it was a big time win beating Michigan at their place, but you guys only won by 2 points. But again, a W is a W. And then you guys steamroll Vegas, you know, demolish the Aggies. And then you guys had a 7-point win over the Air Force Academy, which I know in past years, that's kind of a tough team to beat, right?
That is a tough team, that's for sure. You know, any academy. I've never played Army, but we played Navy as well. And man, those academy teams, there's no give up in those guys. They are the type of guys that we want out there fighting for our country. That's for sure. And a ton of respect for them. That week of practice is always a higher stress, higher physicality week. Especially for the defense with those academy teams running the triple option. Definitely a tough game. Those teams never give up, no matter how far ahead you are. You know you're in for a full day of fighting.
And then you guys went on to beat Weber. And then you guys then stayed at home and played a team who would end up being a conference opponent in Oregon State. That was a 3-point win. And then you guys beat Wyoming, which I know that there's kind of a storied history of, you know, the smack talk between, you know, coaches and things like that, which is actually kind of funny. You guys steamrolled them as you did with Colorado State. Now the Lobos, you guys went down to Albuquerque and only got a 3-point win. That was kind of the, you know, puzzling one. What happened in that game?
Again, you know, New Mexico at the time, Rocky Long being the head coach, they run a very unorthodox 3-3-5 defense, something that's very difficult to prepare for, something that you don't see hardly ever. Being on the road, and then I think, you know, for sure by that point in the season, we had a bullseye on our back. We were the team to beat, and we were undefeated to that point, and So you're going to get a team's best effort. And there was a good amount of talent on that New Mexico team that year. I think we could have and maybe should have beat them a little bit more handily than we did. But all those factors combined made it for a tough road win. In college football, the way things are, especially at that time in history, style points were a big deal. Definitely not the type of win we would have wanted to have in New Mexico, but at the end of the day, a win was a win, and we maintained that zero in the loss column.
And then you guys had, and of what I probably consider one of, if not the best win inside Rice-Eccles Stadium in Utah football history. And that was when you guys played the Horned Frogs in that blackout game. Brian Johnson leads that drive down. You were obviously blocking for Brian. Just talk about that last drive, because I know that is one of the most iconic moments in Utah football history.
Crazy, man. I'm actually getting a little bit of chills right now thinking about it. The stadium was unbelievable, just rocking. I remember, somebody sent me a video clip afterwards of the people that were calling the game talking about how the press box was shaking, physically shaking. Yep. Really, really special night, really special day. That last drive, everything on the line for that season. But no doubt in anyone's mind that we were going to come away with that win. Down in the red zone, fourth down, we needed to convert the first down. I vividly remember this. We ran a 5-man protection, so no back in the backfield. They were bringing blitz zero. We knew they were bringing more guys than that we could block. I remember vividly, taking my set and coming off on the linebacker that was blitzing and leaving the defensive end. Knowing that Brian knew he needed to get rid of the ball quickly. And I remember him letting go of the ball. And I think it was Freddie Brown who caught that pass. Mm-hmm. And Freddie was not even looking at the time that Brian released the ball. And it just happened. It timed up perfectly. As soon as Freddie got his head around, the ball was right there, converted that fourth down, went on to score, went on to win, maintained the record. That was definitely a special moment, and probably a moment that was a catalyst that kind of launched us into the remainder of that season, into the Sugar Bowl, into the, you know, the fully undefeated season.
How loud was that stadium? Because there are people who are saying that it was the loudest it's ever been. And there have been some pretty good seasons, pretty good games after that. I wasn't there. I hadn't started my media career yet. But, you know, just watching it on TV and all that stuff, I mean, obviously it doesn't do justice. And obviously even the fans there doesn't do justice. But you were down on the field. You know exactly how loud and how electric it was inside Rice-Eccles Stadium.
For sure. You know, and that's why I think I get these chills even talking about it and thinking about it is, you know, there's only a few of those games in your lifetime. Fortunately, I was able to play football longer than most. So, you know, I had a few more of those games than most people. But those type of games, man, are special. And I haven't been to many of the games since I graduated. And I know there's been some big time games and some loud stadiums. But I got to believe that's right up there at the top all time in that stadium as one of the loudest and rowdiest and most fun games to be at and watch and play in.
So then you guys go on and beat San Diego State on the road before the showdown with BYU. You guys obviously beat them 48-24. I mean, to you playing in that rivalry, I mean, you weren't a part of the group that would go 4 years without, you know, losing to BYU like they are in the Pac-12 right now, but it's still a rivalry. How do you view it? Because I know every player is different with how they view the BYU-Utah rivalry.
I definitely view it differently now, being away from the state. I live in Southern California now, you know, bounced around in my NFL career. So I haven't been in living in Utah since I graduated. So it's a little bit different now, but, you know, taking myself back to that time, I grew up in the Midvale, Sandy area, went to Hillcrest High School. My stepfather was a girls basketball coach at the University of Utah for 12 years while I was growing up. I was a diehard Utes fan, and I remember fights breaking out on the playground in elementary school over the BYU-Utah rivalry. You know, it's a special rivalry. It's a heated rivalry. And that game is always special. There's always an elevated, sense of urgency, sense of energy in practice that week. It's a special thing, to be a part of, and a special rivalry. I think it can get a little too, you know, for the fans and for the people out there, I think it can get a little too crazy at times. You know, at the end of the day, it's still just sports, and you know, we're still all on the same team here in life. Overall, that's definitely a special rivalry that's out there.
So when you guys got that bid to play in the Sugar Bowl and you guys were taking on number 4 Alabama, what was really coming to mind when you guys got that bid? Did you guys feel like you guys got slighted, that you guys should have been in contention to play in that national championship game, or were you guys all full steam ahead on Bama?
I mean, we were all full steam ahead. I think if you step back and you look at it, you know, I think maybe we should have had a chance at that top game. At the time, you know, the way things were in the BCS and not being in a BCS conference and all those things, you know, that portion was kind of out of our hands, unfortunately. But I think the focus was just on, you know what, we have an opportunity here and we're not going to lose this game, no matter who we're playing. And we're going to go down there and we're going to come out of this with a W. And that was the focus the whole time.
I know that there was a lot being said going into that game against Bama that the Crimson Tide weren't really looking motivated to play the Utes in that Sugar Bowl. I know Saban, you know, probably overlooked you guys a little bit. I know that they had some studs on there, guys who went on to have great careers and still in the NFL, like Julio Jones and others. What was that like as far as getting motivated to play Alabama? Because I'm sure you guys caught wind of some of that.
I mean, we definitely heard it in the media, but we didn't care. You know, that's their issue to deal with. And if you can't get excited and get motivated to play in a Sugar Bowl, no matter if you think that you shouldn't be in that game or not, then, you know, I question your motives as a team and as a football player. So, you know, our focus was we're going to go in and we're going to win this game. And yeah, it's a huge stage for us, but whether they believe it or not, it's a huge stage for them too. And I think you look at that game and the performance that we put on, and then you look at what happened with Bama after that. It was, I think, a huge wake-up call for Saban and the team as a whole. I think they went on to win like 22 or 24 straight games after that loss. So, you know, I'd like to take some credit for a Bama national championship or two because of that win.
Saban should probably send you guys some sort of gift basket, right?
I think so. I would agree with that. We'll have to see who we need to connect with to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So just going into that game, you guys punched them in the mouth, and I don't think there was a heavier punch that they've ever endured, at least in this stretch under Saban, because you guys went out 21-0, laid three touchdowns on them in that first quarter. Just what was your guys' thoughts after you guys scored that third touchdown where Braden Goffrey got in? And Brian Johnson just had it going. The offensive line was just going. It just seemed like Alabama couldn't do anything to stop you guys.
Yeah, we were just clicking on all cylinders. You know, our game plan and the way we wanted to approach the game, playing high tempo and operating extremely fast on the offensive side of the ball, turned out to be the right move. And we were executing it at the highest level we possibly could. And it was a great feeling. You know, we get up 21-0, but there was never a deep breath that was taken. You know, we just wanted to keep the pedal down. We just wanted to keep operating at a high level offensively, keep the chains moving, control the ball, all those kind of things. You know, when you're playing a program and a team like Alabama on a national stage in a game like that, the last thing you want to do is go up big like that and then lose your lead. So, you know, there was complete focus the entire time.
Now, when you guys beat Alabama, what was that, you know, feeling like when, you know, the clock hit 0-31-17 Utes and you guys completed a second unbeaten season in a bus in the BCS twice now as a Utah football program? What was that feeling?
Man, it was like being on top of the world. You know, we were down there for a whole week in New Orleans, and hearing all the Bama fans yell "Roll Tide" anytime we went anywhere. It was nice to have some support from the LSU fans down there, really pulling for us. But you know, we finish that game and go get together as a team and go celebrate a little bit and walking around town. You know, seeing the downtrodden faces of all those Bama fans and not hearing "Roll Tide" anymore, and seeing the elation and the excitement from some of those LSU fans on top of the excitement that we naturally would already have, is a special deal, man. A lot of great memories and very fortunate to be a part of.
So For all the Ute fans out there, this is just a glimpse of what you're going to get next week. Obviously, Zane is a great guy to talk about this, and it sucks that you're not able to join us, but I'm glad that we were able to do this now. I want to talk about a couple of things outside of that 08 team. What have you been up to? You've been out of the league for, you know, 2 years now after stops with the Denver Broncos, which, by the way, you are my favorite Denver Broncos draft pick as a Broncos fan. Just putting that out there right now. Although, I mean, there's not a whole lot of competition. John Elway hasn't, you know, but we're not going to get into that. But what is the last, you know, 2 years been like? You mentioned you're living in Southern California, but what is Zane Beatles up to since he stopped playing football?
Yeah, so retired after the 2018 season. April of 2019, my wife gave birth to twins, boy and girl. So they are just turned two here last month. That's been an amazing, amazing experience. I tell everybody that I can that being dad is the coolest thing I've ever been. And it is awesome. August of that year, I jumped into an MBA program at Indiana University, doing an online MBA program. So I've been doing that since then. I'll finish up here in August. And then last summer, I started working in a real estate investment firm down here in Southern California in Orange County. Loving that, kind of jumped into the second career, figured out, what I want to do, at least for the next, little while here. I think I'm going to be one of those people that needs, like 3 or 4 careers in their lifetime. A lot of different interests and a lot of different things going on in this head, but, really enjoying, real estate investment and working in this firm managing some investment dollars and enjoying life. My wife's pregnant again, third on the way. We'll do here in November. So, on to the next phase of life. That's for sure.
So rather than blocking giant D linemen, you're now blocking kids.
I'm blocking kids, changing diapers, running around the yard.
Into trouble and all that too, huh?
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, that is absolutely awesome. Now, something that I want to bring up. You've played with some great quarterbacks in your time in the NFL, including Peyton Manning, who I absolutely, admire as obviously a Broncos fan. But, you're seeing Aaron Rodgers, you're seeing Watson, you're seeing some of these other NFL quarterbacks that are just wanting out of wherever they're at, and they're kind of making it public now. I know Peyton Manning wasn't really like that, but you've also played with a lot of quarterbacks. Is this rare to see them come out and, the way, especially in bunches, it seems like coming out and just not being happy with where they're at?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing. The world is much different now. When Peyton came into the league in 99 or 2000 or whenever it was, I can't remember what his rookie year was, but things are much different now than they were then in general in the world. All the social media and really we have so much information at our fingertips at all times. And it provides some different dynamics and through social media, everybody now has a voice, good, bad, or indifferent. And it provides a platform for these guys to voice some of their concerns or some of their displeasure. It's just the evolution of our world and evolution of the sport. It's always going to continue to change. At the end of the day, these guys, thinking about Aaron Rodgers specifically, he's the type of guy that you would expect to have more than one championship under his belt. If you're in a situation and you're on a team, and you operate at that level and you're that type of quarterback, and your team doesn't give you the support that you need around you to be able to win more championships, I can completely understand how that can be disconcerting and how you would want out of that situation. Because a guy like that, he's accomplished everything that you possibly can as an NFL quarterback. I don't know how many records he holds or anything like that, but he's definitely one of the best up there of all time. In his circumstances, winning championships is the biggest thing and what you want to accomplish. Trying to be in a situation where you can do that, I completely understand why he might be displeased with the situation he's in.
Now, one last thing on that. Just say that Peyton Manning played in Denver forever. You end up coming in, he's obviously the quarterback, but then things aren't just going really well. He's not happy there. Comes out and says that he isn't happy. Doesn't come to OTAs, at least the voluntary ones. What is the mindset of the surrounding players around him when something like this comes out? Because I'm just trying to figure out what the Packer players are going through right now, where Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be there. The coaches are saying, we're not trading him. It's making for an awkward situation, but how do you handle it as a pro?
That's definitely an interesting dynamic and definitely a tough thing to deal with. I think on the NFL level, my opinion on that would be that it is much different than the college level. In college, you're going to be there for 4 or 5 years. That's changing a little bit now with the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff. So, the evolution of things again, things are changing. But generally overall, you're going to be there for 4 or 5 years. You know that these guys are going to be your teammates for 4 or 5 years. You have pride in your, your team and your state and your school and all that kind of stuff. So there's, you know, if somebody comes out and voices some of that displeasure, I think it's a different dynamic than in the pros where, you know, the roster is changing over every single week. Guys are getting hurt and new guys are coming in for tryouts. And, the guy that was your friend right next to you in your locker, got hurt and, you know, he goes to IR and somebody else new comes in and replaces it. So that kind of, feeling of camaraderie and knowing, you know, who you're going to battle with week in and week out is a different dynamic. It changes constantly. And it's truly a job, at that point. It's a business and it's profession. And, ultimately you have one job to do, and that's to perform and be the best football player that you can personally be and contribute to the team all that you can. And that, has to be the focus for everybody. At least, you know, for me, I wasn't, the best, most athletic, fastest, biggest, strongest type of guy. And I needed to be extremely consistent. I needed to be smart. I needed to be a guy that the coaches knew what they were going to get every single day. And that's how I was able to have as long of a career in the NFL as I had. That has to be the focus for the majority of guys that play in the league. And an understanding of, we could all get hurt. This could end for every single one of us tomorrow, whether you're Aaron Rodgers or not. Look at Alex Smith, what happened with him and his leg. It's amazing that he was able to come back and play another NFL snap. I could not believe that last year when he entered that game, and was back on an NFL football field and playing and operating and doing well as an NFL quarterback. So you have to understand that, ultimately at the end of the day, we're all doing this to make a living and we're all doing this to support our families and support our communities and all that kind of stuff. And you can't get mad at an individual that's looking out for himself in a situation and in a league where you're a commodity, no matter if you're Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Zane Beatles, no matter who you are, you're always replaceable. Looking out for your own situation and what's best for you and your family, is the ultimate focus. And I think everybody understands that on a team.
All right. Two more questions for you, and then I will cut you loose. Last year, to when everything shut down, I actually chose to do this, debate. It was called the Great Youth Debate, where I had two members of the 2004 Fiesta Bowl team and two members of the Sugar Bowl team. From the 04 team, I had Eric Weddle and Quinton Ganther. From the 08 team, I had Sly and Brian Johnson. We all debated who was better, 08 or 04. Now, I've asked former players who have been members of both of these teams, still can't find an answer to it. I think I know the answer coming from you, but who was better, 08 or 04?
Man, I obviously have to go with the 08 team. I was a Hillcrest Husky during the 04 team, so wasn't a part of that. But I think I'll take it a step further. And 08's better, all right? But I'm going to have to straddle the fence here and say that the 04 offense was better, which pains me to say because I was part of that 08 offense.
Yeah.
But I think the 04 offense was better, but I think the 08 defense was better. And at the end of the day, the philosophy at the Utah program, and the results of a lot of championships over the years, defense wins championships. So ultimately I think that's why the 08 team was better. I was on a team in Denver where we were the best offense in the history of the NFL and we lost the Super Bowl.
Yes, you were.
So, it's that defense is a big, big deal.
Now, that is the best answer any of these former players have ever given because you actually gave credit to the other team. Normally, they're just like, all the way. Nothing can compare.
I got to give those guys credit. I was going to those games as a senior in high school and being recruited by Utah and having a blast watching that season. It was a special season, that's for sure.
Okay, final thing. And this is kind of blown up on social media. So I'm actually going to put you on the spot here. We actually asked all of our fans on Twitter to give us their offense. You get a quarterback, a running back, and two wide receivers. You have $10.
Okay.
Here are your options. Who would Zane all Beagle right. want to block for out of this group?
All right. All right. I'm going to take my guy, Brian, as my quarterback.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with I'll go with Zach Moss as my running back. So what's that? $6?
Yep, $6.
All right. So, yeah, Steve Smith, man, that guy is a phenomenal football player, human, just a beast.
I have gotten a lot of crap for putting him at $2, but I was telling people it's from college, not from the pros.
Right.
If it was from the pros, I'd put him at $100.
Right.
Because Steve Smith was just fantastic in the NFL and didn't even scratch the surface in college.
Yeah. So I'll take Steve there. And I guess I had, oh wait, no, that was, six. So I'm at $8. So, and then I got to go with Brent, my guy, Brent, you know, I want to go with Jeremy, but I don't have the money. So, I'm going to take Brent.
Well, there you go. So that would be a pretty solid group for you to block for then, right?
That would be, that would be a lot of fun right there.
Well, Zane, here, I'm going to take this down. Zane, I really do appreciate you taking the time. It really sucks that you're not able to join us, but I will obviously send best wishes to your teammates, except for Sly, because he did say some rude things through text message.
He always does, man. He always does. I don't know what it is about that guy, but no, I love all those guys. Please tell them all I said hello. I wish I could be there with them next week, but it's going to be a lot of fun for you guys.
All right, coming up next Friday, right here on the KSL Sports Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. That is Zane Beatles. Join us next week at 10 a.m. Mountain Time for the Sugar Bowl reunion. Thank you for tuning in to the Crimson Corner and the KSL Sports front page.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.